From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome back to Defrag Tools. So we're just getting back from our holiday break.
Yep.
And CES was last week.
Yep, definitely. So, always great to see CES. CES always has lots of goodies that you always want to buy something.
What was your favorite things?
So actually, it was this guy. Lenovo released a 27-inch equivalent of the Surface. It's a full touch PC.
Equivalent of what?
A
tablet?
Yeah.
No, of Pixel Sense.
Oh, Pixel Sense as well. It's Windows 8 based, 27 inches, and it's designed so that you can use it as a PC, like vertically, and then you can lay it down on a table and play.
Have four people around it doing different things on it.
They launched like.
It's a good idea.
They launched like three.
Someone else should have thought of that.
Yeah. The Pixel Sense is, is exactly the equivalent thing, and I actually have
one. Because the Pixel Sense has. Fourth pixel,
so
the screen can see like a fuzzy camera.
Yeah,
but I don't know if this has. I haven't looked into it yet.
Yeah, I have the Pixel Sense actually next to my desk. I actually support it, so that's kind of cool.
And nice.
It's one of the best machines ever to play Angry Birds.
And Very cool.
We've got every single Angry Birds.
Well, that's a nice use for it. Excellent.
Well, it's good. Yeah, you got to use it. You can't just sit there doing nothing, right?
Yeah, and then Steve Ballmer showed up for the Qualcomm.
Yeah, because we announced that Steve's not doing keynotes anymore.
Yeah,
and so he. He bombed Qualcomm's party, and he talked about the Windows 8 phones, which are based on Qualcomm's ARM-based chip, and also the Windows RT tablets that OEMs are making. So we make the Surface, obviously, and then OEMs make things like, I think Acer and Dell make Windows RT-based machines, which are the ARM-based versions of Windows 8.
Yeah.
So it's good to see that the ecosystem is moving along.
Excellent. So. And the big thing this year at CES seemed to be the 4K TVs. So it looks like higher resolution is the
Hobbit's
feature
here.
Of the year.
Hobbit's 4K, you've got to watch it one-on-one, right?
I mean,
it's set the new standard of what clarity is. Mm-hmm. And it's even better than that because it's 2x4K because it's 3D, right? So it's actually double 4K. So kudos to Peter Jackson for moving the ecosystem forward. And
excellent.
I just bought a TV last week, so I'm going, damn it.
You never keep on the edge there.
Yeah.
So what are we going to talk about today?
We are going to revisit episode one, and we are going to upgrade our tools to Windows 8.
Excellent.
So there's been a lot of comments in the blog saying, hey, why are you on the old version of the tools? Why are you on the old version of Windows? Well, some of those reasons was because we take these episodes so far in advance that the software wasn't even out yet. And we just haven't had time to get around it, or we've been in a sequence of episodes which we didn't want to break up. So, but it's come to the time because we're so deep into the WinDBG episodes. We're like 10 episodes in. We're about to hit some of the extensions that we really want the Windows 8 version to be there. So that's what we're going to do. So roughly, we're just going to repeat what I did in episode one, re-download system internals tools, and then re-download the SDK and upgrade ourselves to the Windows 8 version of everything. So.
All right.
Guess I should just jump into it. We'll start with sysinternals because it's relatively easy. I know that with ProcDump, which is one of the things that I work on, you won't see it here, but by the time this airs on Monday, I know ProcDump 5.1.2 will be out. So we've talked about ProcDump before. 5.0 was the one which had all of the... exception support and stuff like that. 5.1 was the one which we added JIT ability and also the Silverlight support. 5.1.1 was a bug fix because we mistakenly dropped off support for Windows XP because of the way we compiled it. And we're going to release 5.1.2 this week to fix a minor data collection issue. We were losing the thread time, so you didn't know how many milliseconds a thread was running. So that's being added. So. What we're going to do is download the suite, top left corner of systemsounds.com, download the zip file, steal around the 12 meg mark. We're going to dump it into our My folder like we've always done before. I might actually call it systemsounds. Yeah, it's a tiny download. Do-do-do-do. And then we can go to our folder, and then we can remember to unblock it first, otherwise we have to do it individually for each file. And then we're going to extract everything to sysinternals over the top of everything and replace. So that's up, system channels upgraded. Mark has been evolving the tools a lot for Windows 8. We've talked about this before. I know Presses Explorer, Proct, particularly have major updates to support Windows 8, so make sure you have the latest and greatest. So it's nearly done. I was doing a backup of, this is a VHD, this machine on an SSD.
Yeah.
Just to make sure I had a copy. I was getting 280 meg per second copying to itself.
Nice.
I just love SSD. It's unbelievably awesome. All right, so that system channel's updated. So what we did in episode one is these three folders were ripped out of the SDK as individual files, and so we could then use them as an xcopy deploy. We've talked about before how we don't really want production systems to be installing software because it kind of screws up auditing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so we factory out the files and then just xcopy them onto the target. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to segment these guys off. These came from the Windows 7 SP1 SDK. So I'm just going to grab this one, and this one, and move it into there. And I'm going to make a new folder called Win8. We'll call it RTM, because that's where it came from. All right, so what we're going to do is get those files again. So two ways of remembering how to do this. You can either type for Windows 8 SDK. I
guess Al Roker is a popular search term today.
Was it?
Yeah, it was at the top. It's just when you click in there.
And then after all the adverts, first number here is the SDK. If you can't, if you're thinking about it the other way, that you're trying to find the debugging tools, you will hit a landing page after all the adverts. This one. There is two ways of getting the debugging tools through the WDK, which is for device driver type people, and through the SDK. Even though this says debugging tools as a standalone component, it actually just goes to the SDK page and says just choose the one component. So that's what we're going to do. So this link goes to the other page we just found. So this is a web install, and they've kind of changed the way that the SDK delivers the software. So no more do you like get an ISO or anything. You use this installer, and you can either install it directly, which is what this top radio button is saying, or you can say, I want to download it for somewhere else. And so the options are the same, as you can pick and choose what you want to install. It's just the effect. So this one will end up with an AvRemove Programs effect, and this one will end up with roughly the same folder, but you'll end up with the equivalent of the old ReadDisk folder. So we're going to choose this one. Choose next. Yes, we'll do in program. And what we're going to do is we don't want the SDK itself, and we don't want these ones. App certification kit is how you get your logo on an application. We'll talk about that some other day. These are the three that we had before.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three we're going to do it. So I'm going to get these started. And we're just going to end up with files on the hard drive. And while this is happening, I'll kind of explain how the world's changed. Between Windows 7 and Windows 8, the build system in Microsoft changed. And a lot of the old setup programs were retired and replaced with silent install programs. It was mainly because on Windows RT, it is a subset of Windows. It's not the complete Windows 8. It hasn't got the entire Win32 API on top of it, and it hasn't got the whole of .NET on it. And so there's just some things didn't exist. And so the choice was made to change a lot of the installers to silent install. And so that's not copyable. So that's on the hard drive now. It's like 200 meg width. The SDK is also about half the size of its old size, which is kind of cool. I always get that wrong. It's in the x86 folder. No, it wasn't. I'm getting blind. Where did you go? Where did you go? Where did you go? All right, let's do this again. Well, that was awkward. We'll run that.
By date.
This will tell me the folder. Oh, I'll put it in the downloads folder, that's why. So Andrew downloads Windows kits. All right, so here's the folder that we just got down. And then under installers, we have a folder with all the data. A lot more CAB-based approach. There's two ways of making MSI files. You can make a file that controls it, which is the MSI. MSI is really just a database. It has a whole lot of tables and stuff. And then what you can do is put the CAB files inside the MSI file, or sometimes you can hold them out separate. And in this case, they've decided to put them out separate for some things. The ones that we care about down the bottom, these ones, the WPT and debugging tools for Windows. This is Windows Performance Toolkit. That's the one we talked about where we can analyze the Windows performance. You notice that we actually now ship an ARM version of that. So we run ARM and analyze ARM. We run on 64 and analyze x86. We run on 64-bit or x86, analyze x86. And so, yeah, it's good to see that we've got ARM ones, which is Windows RT.
Yeah.
We don't ship the ARM version of the debugger. And the main reason is there's nothing to debug. If the Windows RT is locked down, so there isn't the ability to write a Win32 traditional desktop application, which means you have no reason to debug it because you didn't write one.
Mm-hmm.
The Windows Store applications, you can debug them through Visual Studio remotely, so there's no reason to have the debugging tools for that.
Yeah.
It does exist, obviously, because we need to debug Windows, but it's only used by Microsoft and select Windows RT, like Qualcomm, hardware vendors, to do the really low-level stuff.
Yeah.
But there's no reason to have it on your box. So this is the files that we want, and what we can do is I'm just going to copy this entire folder so I don't lose it and put it in my folder. Not too much data, it's not too bad. And then what I'm going to do is hive some of these out. It's kind of redundant, but I'm just doing it to make it match the other one. The debugging tools for Windows one, and I'm going to be slack here and copy-paste Windows Performance Toolkit. And Windows Performance Toolkit are standalone, even though they don't require these CABs. They just happen to be, as I said, standalone. And the last one is Application Verify, which also is a standalone one in this package. So all those CAB files that are left are to do with .NET and stuff like that in the SDK itself. And the, I saw it before, where is it? Right there in the middle, Application Verifier. And so there we have it. We have the MSI's factoried out of this, the standalone SDK. I don't have it on this PC because this is a studio build, but on my own personal PC, my folder is in my SkyDrive.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this every machine I'm at, I just have access to it. Total capacity is under 500 meg, even with the big downloads. I actually even keep my SIM cache in SkyDrive. Just because I do. I don't know why I do, but I do. It's more of an artifact of it being under the folder rather than anything else.
Yeah.
So the one thing we haven't got is, you'll see in Windows 7, is we've got the debugger folders, right?
Yeah.
And on this machine, where is it? Remove programs. You'll see that I don't even have the debugging tools installed. And that's because what I did is I got my folder when I built this image, and I just copied these two folders in there. So I can go here and kill these two right now because they just were X-copied on, so they're the old ones.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do is get the new ones. So we're going to go to the debugging tools for Windows. We'll start with x86, why not? And you'll see it's a silent install after the UAC prompt. And so that's installed now. And we'll do the X64 as well. These go into the an obvious place. The 64-bit one goes into the program files for 64-bit. There's a folder called Windows Kits, which is where all software has been refactored to be a common path, and it has these numbers versions. I think it's been standard since Windows 7. So 7.1 was the old SDK for Windows 7 Service Pack 1 SDK. You got a number 7.1. And here's the debuggers, and here's the X64 folder. So this folder here, the X64, is equivalent of what we used to call debuggers. So we'll copy that in the root, rename it, and that was our old debuggers folder. And we will do the same for the x86 version, x86 kits, 8, debuggers, here's the x86 version. Scroll too far. There. And this one was called debuggers x86. And copy those two guys, put them back into our repository, debugging tools for Windows.
So is there anything about the tools that's changed for Windows 8 that we need to redo any of the past shows that we've done?
No, luckily it's very backwards compatible. It's all additive rather than things that change. One of the great features it has, and unfortunately I can't show it public symbols because the public symbols don't have the information. I tried to find an example, I just couldn't get one ready for today, but there's a thing called inline frames. So sometimes when you're debugging, you'll see function A calls into function B, calls into function C, calls into function D, right? And you expect to see in the call stack when you press K, A, B, C, D in the list,
yeah.
Right? And sometimes A's there and D's there, but C, B and C are missing. And it's because they've been inline. The function's so simple that it's actually more efficient to not do a call, which causes all that stack information.
Yeah.
It actually, the compiler actually copies the code into every location who calls that function, so you get multiple copies of the code. It's called inlined. And we've never had that support, and they actually had to change the PDB standard, the symbol standard, to support it. And so programs generated with Visual Studio 2012 have this new PDB layout, and it actually remembers the inline frame. So when you have a stack, it will show A, B, C, D, and the only difference is on the left-hand side where you'd have its address, it will have brackets inlined. And you actually can treat it as a frame and look at the local variables and all that type of stuff. So it's kind of like a pseudo frame.
Mm-hmm.
Under the covers from a debugger extension point of view, huge changes. If you're interested in that, email me at dofrag and I can talk to you offline about that. But it just allows you to see the individual frames. And one of the artifacts of that work is a lot of the information sometimes is missing, and this is not going to work, but I'll show the example. I can show you an example that's kind of close. So let's grab this application and crash it. So it's ran a crash. And so the variables in this context are argc, argv, pointer, right? There should be three variables.
Yeah.
And I've got full public full private symbols for this because this is my program. And I glossed over this intentionally when it happened many, many episodes ago because I knew this existed. You'll notice that there's only two local variables there. The PTR one's missing, right? It's because the PTR one only ever existed in a register. It didn't exist on the stack. And that's why it doesn't show it. If I recompile this program with 2012, I should have thought of that. If I recompile with this to 2012, PTR would turn up. So you'll get all local variables. It's really, really good. They've really nailed it. This is one of the major, major features that they put effort into in Windows 8's time frame. Mm-hmm. And they absolutely got it right. And it's amazing how bad a state you can be from a context point of view, and it still works. So kudos go out to the debugging team for getting that working.
Very nice.
So that's the two major changes as far as the debugger is concerned. From an operating system point of view, we added network debugging. So if you need to debug, this is all debugging at the user level.
Yeah.
If you need to debug at the entire machine level, it's called kernel mode debugging. Before Windows 8, the only options were really FireWire and USB 2, which was really hard to get working.
Yeah.
FireWire was very stable, and then good old serial, literally old 256K board serial, which was very, very painful. And they added, in Windows 8, they've added networking as a built-in standard. And so you can actually network debug. So this machine can, when it boots, say, hey, I need to give out my debugging information, and it will go talk to a foreign host that you specify with a massive cryptographic key, and you can debug remotely. And I mean, I do a lot of kernel debugging, and it is one of the best features ever. Is this? It saves so much time. The PC doesn't have to be physically near me anymore. It can be, you know, way over in different building type stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. And to go with that, Microsoft ratified a standard in, and I talked about this on Defrag Live, I think. We also support debugging over USB 3. Mm-hmm. It's a special cable. So you know how the cable usually has that square bit?
Yeah.
That's the A end.
Yeah.
You can buy an A to A cable, and it's, you know, has the blue in a piece of plastic because it's USB 3.
Yeah.
And you can plug it between two USB 3 machines. As long as the target, which would be like the one you're debugging, has an XHCI specification standard applied to the USB 3 port, you can debug over USB 3 as well. And that's how you debug things like the, or if it's unlocked, things like a Surface, because there is no network cable on it, right? So that's how we, so anything that is Windows 8 logoed must have either networking or USB 3 debugging as part of the logo requirement. So much better situation from a support point of view.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a very small point, you know, very small crowd who cares.
Yeah.
But it's important. Yeah. And that's really it. That's really it for the debugger in Windows 8. It was a massive change, don't get me wrong. I should mention another major thing they did is they integrated the debugger into Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. And so the same debugger engine that the Visual Studio uses a different engine than WinDBG. Both engines are now available in Visual Studio. So you can do your kernel debugging from within Visual Studio. You don't have to use WinDBG. You can bring up Visual Studio and do the same thing. It's more of a habit thing for me and most people that people stick with WinDBG, but Visual Studio can do exactly the same thing. So,
very nice. So is that it for this week? Anything else we need to cover?
That's about it, really. Next week we're going to go back to the WinDBG series. We just did the last 2 weeks on memory. We did all of the 5, 6, 12, 400 weeks on kernel-based stuff, and we're going to go back into a bit more to user land. Next week's on locking, so when you have instead of a crash dump, if you have a hang dump, as in, you know, someone's jammed and you want to work out why, we're going to go into how you can work out why programs are stuck. And we'll do that at the user mode level for a bit, and then we will delve into the kernel to do the same thing. The problem with the kernel is you need to have a lot of symbol access and stuff like that. So we're going to try to get there. Unfortunately, it's one of those things where you need to contact Microsoft more for that type of problem domain. And then we move on to, so this is all being dump debugging is like static point in time. We're going to move on to live debugging. So things that you can do when the target's actually still running, like right now. So I could put a breakpoint where you can't do that on a dump file, for example.
Very nice.
That's about it, really. And there's been a lot of emails come in. People don't seem to be talking on the forums much, but they send a lot of email, I can tell you. Feel free to continue to do that. I've been helping people.
Defragtools@microsoft.com.
Yeah, every day I've been fixing someone's bug check.
Yeah.
I did another one last night. Hi, Brad. just happy to help. If you think that what you've got is generic, put it in the forum post so other people can learn about it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to put it there just for confidentiality reasons. Yeah. But if you feel comfortable putting it in the forum post, do it there so more people can learn.
Excellent. All right. Well, that's the show for this week. You can write us at defragtools@microsoft.com or leave us comments in the show notes, and we will see you there. See you next week.
See you next week.